League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry out for a day. Nick is in. We appreciate Aaron Rabel joining us. Having some pretty spirited discussions around the NFL, the Texans, the Andrew Luck situation. Lots to digest there. And then it's going to be a short week in the NFL this week, week four, as it always is, as teams gear up for their season openers. But cutdown day is approaching. Like I said, sportsmap.com. Please check it out. I got a column on there, and we've got a video that should come out this afternoon. But the bottom line is kind of spin off of what we were talking about yesterday on the show. Everybody's throwing names out there of running backs.
Yeah.
But if you are a running back, it's a catch-22, the Houston situation, because you know you're going to get carries. There's a chance for you to get, along with Duke Johnson, a chance to really get some significant playing time. But you know what you see in terms of the offensive line, and that's going to be a negative that maybe takes its toll on you. Not saying that everybody's going to be Lamar Miller. But the bottom line is if blocks are missed and holes aren't opened up, you are going to take a beating. And that kind of spun into our conversation that we just got done with about how much is too much when you're dealing with the beating that you're going to take.
Yeah, a lot of these, I mean, these running backs, some of them might look at this opportunity, be like, look, if I flourish behind this terrible offensive line, that'll make me look that much better of a running back. So I could see maybe a running back, a young one, who's willing to go through that physical wear and tear to look at this opportunity as an opportunity to kind of seize. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Duke Johnson feels the same way, but I don't know how he feels about this O-line. Obviously, he's not going to say anything negative, but you are going to take a pounding. And Bill O'Brien has been notorious to make a lot of these running backs go through a lot of physical wear and tear. So,
and we know he likes to run the football, but the other thing I'd say before we wrap it up and turn the page is the fact that when you were talking about would you trade Clowney? Would you trade Clowney for a running back? Or what would you trade him for? The bottom line is with these running backs, regardless of you have a good offensive line or not, the life expectancy of a running back in the NFL is between 6 and 8 years max. And so, and you also know they're a dime a dozen. But you know that tackles, left tackles in particular, but tackles and offensive linemen in this league are at such a premium. And we talked about what Chris Ballard was able to do with the Colts. But the reason why he was able to do it, and all these teams that do it well, is the fact that once you draft a kid or you find a kid and you develop a kid, and like you said, maybe it takes a year or two. But the fact of the matter is once you get him to the point where he is better than serviceable and he's playing for you, you hang on to him because it's so rare to find guys that can hold their own and be above average linemen in this league. And it's the foundation of anything that anybody does in the NFL.
Yeah, I can't. I've even seen how many times Lamar Miller, he was a top 10 rushing running back last season. I can't tell you how many times I've seen him limp back onto the field because of a play that happened one or two plays ago where he was absolutely crumbled and he's sitting there limping. He can't even be served as a decoy at that point. Like, even if you're not running the ball, Lamar Miller can't do anything for you. And I don't know if that's a healthy situation for any running back. So, I mean, I think that's something that you obviously have to consider if you're going to go play for Coach Bill O'Brien, because we've seen Lamar Miller go through some beatings, and a lot of the running backs that you've seen in a Texans uniform might go has gone through that as well. So we can circle back to the Texans though in the third hour if you want. Yeah. But I just thought that was it. But no, I could not agree with you more. I'm not sold on the fact, Joel, that you trade Clowney for a running back.
That's I'm totally with you.
That's just.
I said it all starts with left tackle.
I'm not doing it for. I'm not giving up on Clowney for running. Even if I don't have the leverage, even if I don't have the negotiating power, I'm not trading Clowney for a running back. That's just my personal preference.
And I totally agree with that. So that's some Texans talk for you. And again, if you guys want to, you know, change the dialogue again and get back to it, just hit us up. Either hit us up on Twitter or text us or call us 713-780-3776.
I think that injury I was talking about earlier, just real quick, was the Harden wrist injury, because it was like two games about a week apart where he was going through pain in his hand.
Yeah, I remember it.
And I think that was the injury in particular that I was referring to, where the doctor was like, he's just going to have to go through pain. It's not necessarily going to get any worse. And he just said, dude, it's kind of hard because it messes up with my follow through.
Okay.
But I think that's the injury I was talking about. I tried to look it up online during the commercial break. I just didn't have enough time.
Had a texter that said CBD oil definitely works. He has had issues in the past, got onto the CBD oil, and it has made a difference. So that's, again, when we start talking about the NFL, if you're really going to care about your players, and we know CTE has been a huge issue as well, as much as you're worried about the player safety with the helmets and all the issues with CTE, the other thing is recovery. And if recovery can be helped by CBD oil, and you're worried about your drug testing and everything else, if they're not abusing it and they're using it to recover, there's ways that you can differentiate within the drug testing world, as far as I know. And the fact that we know it's being legalized across this country, I'm not a weed smoker by any means.
Right.
But I'm telling you right now that if it helps the recovery and the well-being of these athletes, then it's something that they definitely at least need to do the research on so that they can speak on it from an educated standpoint. And the other thing is, you know, other people are saying, well, you know what, I go through a lot of pain in my day-to-day job too. Guess what? We all have choices, okay? So if you want to be a smartass on all this, feel free to do it. But the fact of the matter is, you got a choice to quit your job and go get another job too. Just like a player who doesn't want to play in the NFL anymore is not looking to cry on your shoulder, but maybe they cry less about the pain they've gone through and they find a job in which they have more peace of mind.
My question to you is, does your day-to-day job really mess with your mind to the point where an NFL fullback is literally making a plea on Twitter asking for the NFL's help?
I mean, you work for AJ Hoffman, you know.
But LaRon McClain, a former fullback in the NFL, did you see the tweets?
Good one, yeah.
I mean, I can't obviously read a lot of what he put in this tweet, but there was definitely a lot of pleading. I felt like there was a big tone to that in this tweet. I have to get my head checked. Playing fullback since high school, it takes too bleeping much to do anything. My brain is bleeped tired. At NFL, I need some help with this bleep.
Mm-hmm.
Dark times and it's showing. Help me, please. They don't care. I have to get lawyers, man. So to me, that's just a sad tweet. That's just a sad tweet. And if CBD can help, and I CBD is not the solution to everything, but those are the players you got to be paying attention to. It's only fair when they play their hearts out and they're not making those NFL paychecks anymore and they're still dealing with pain, and pain that requires a lot of medical attention, that requires a lot of dollars, you know. If you don't have insurance, that could be a whole different ball game too. So, I mean, this guy is literally making a plea to the NFL. So
that's just another story with it. And when you start adding it all up, here's the thing for the smartasses that say, well, I wish I had help to deal with the pain of my job too. Well, here's the thing. This is exactly what a lot of the players are coming to the defense of Andrew Luck and others and saying in the last 24 hours. The fact that you guys out there as fans look at these players as some like war heroes that just keep take a beating and it's not supposed to take a toll on you. Guess what? What you can do is you can take everything that you do during the course of your life, and if you've got wife or girlfriend problems or kid issues or financial issues or things that are coming up that are really taxing on you and your life, guess what? They have them too. But then on top of that, they're taking a physical beating. And someone made the point that it was great on text. That's why they only play once a week, because the recovery and everything that they go through to get ready and then recover is such, it's so taxing on them. But you think about that. They're human beings too. So just like you, they have families and lives and issues and all these other things that we deal with too. It's just that they're also taking a physical beating every single week, laying their body on the line. Sure, they're paid well, But what's lost in the shuffle is they're still human. They still have emotions, and they still have to get through a lot of things just like we do.
And doing that, putting their body on the line, is a lot of times it's a big factor in this is the fact that they're trying to prove themselves. So they're literally putting their body on the line so they can eventually get more playing time and eventually become playing better. I remember asking – I forgot which – former NFL player, like, what do you think about those short weeks where you might play on a Sunday and then turn around and come back and play on a Thursday? And he was like, yeah, when I was younger, I was like, yeah, I was all about it. I was pumped. I was always ready. I wanted to play as much. I always wanted to prove myself. But, as one season became three seasons, became four, five, and six seasons, I appreciated that extra time. I did not want to play on a Sunday and then turn around and play three, four, 5 days later on a Thursday. So, I mean – they're human. A lot of times they put this tough moniker on and this tough, you know,
exterior.
Persona to make it seem like they can get through anything, but that's because they're trying to prove themselves. They're human and it always catches up to them.
And you bring up an interesting point because the players have already had issue with the quick turnarounds. You play Sunday or Sunday night, you turn around and play Thursday night or Monday night, you short week. You know, and that's been an issue. Now, selfishly, and I'm one of those people, I would love to see there be more regular season games. And I don't mind reducing preseason games. But the fact that when you look at it and you weigh it out, especially with everything that we're talking about, it's just night and day different. It's not a 50-50 split. You can't give up two preseason games for two regular season games because half the time or more of your starters than not are not playing in those two games in the preseason. And when you are playing, they're playing minimally and they're not getting hurt. When you play two more regular season games, you're putting your body on the line. The pounding is greater. There's more physical toll on your body and mental exhaustion and anguish. I just don't think it's a fair trade-off. And when you see that the league and the players now have met again yesterday, I think it was, still trying to hammer out a new collective bargaining agreement, of course the owners are pushing
for more
regular season games. But keep in mind and take into consideration the players' perspective and the fact that they're the reason why you have regular season football games. And if they're breaking down, wearing down already, and now you're asking them to do it two more times, I don't think it's just as much as selfishly, obviously, a lot of people like to see more regular season football. I think you got to take player safety and players' mental and physical well-being into it.
I feel like it goes against everything they do if they do that, but it'll be interesting to see if they push it because it looks like it could be a 17, potentially 18-game season, so... it's going to be interesting to see what they actually agree on going forward.
Text message, Aaron. You guys, Aaron has filled in on the suspects for a while now. Does this mean he's more of a suspect than a blitzer? Welcome aboard the suspect train, sir. I doubt you feel that way. They actually gave you this gig, so I don't. I understand.
They didn't give it to me. I earned it.
Okay, you earned it, but I'm just saying they gave you the opportunity to be the full-time guy.
Well, I'm on that show every single day.
Right. So. We know we have more fun here. But at the end of the day, it's what we're talking about with the NFL, too. You just want to have more fun. I get it. All right, we'll be back with more fun right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You got the bad, but can't afford them.
Take off. No limit to the money.
Good to go. You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force water.
I want you to stop talking and start drinking.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride on the go wherever you may be in the big city. Aaron in for Nick because Nick's in for Barry and I'm still me. As we are covering a lot of ground.
I don't know if that confused anybody, but...
it's me. They understand it completely.
Yeah, said it pretty clearly.
Damn right. I did. Aaron Wilson, amongst others, reporting Jadeveon Clowney has fired veteran agent Bus Cook.
Yeah.
According to league sources today, Texans' unsigned franchise player is extremely frustrated with the situation. He has 5 days before he can hire a new agent.
Yeah, I just saw this too. Apparently, Aaron Wilson, he tweeted this about 1:52, so just almost 30 minutes ago. And Buzz Cook is, the guy has a resume. He represented Brett Favre back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
He got Calvin Johnson his deal. He got Cam Newton his deal. And he got Clowney's last deal. And yet he fires Buzz Cook, which to me is a red flag. I don't know what you think, Aaron.
Well, you got to give props to Granato because he tweeted this out 2 hours ago before everybody confirmed it.
Really?
He was probably going to fire his agent because his tweet says, quote, watch for something to happen soon. Clowney very unhappy with his agent. He doesn't think Buzz Cook had a good enough plan. When he signs his tender, he thinks he's headed to Miami. They'll have 2 franchise years to convince him to stay long term.
So John Granato putting in work. I actually asked him when I came into the studio. I'm like, you breaking any news? He probably just knew about the, you know, the tension between Clowney and his agent Buzz Cook. We were talking about it in the break, Joel, that it might be like a Scott Boras situation. Obviously, Judge Jadeveon Clowney was not going to, like, you know, fold over. He wasn't just going to fold and let you give him any deal. Maybe Buzz Cook, maybe there's some frustration coming on his part about, look, man, I've tried to get you some deals. This is the best possible deal I can get you, and you're still saying no. Maybe this relationship doesn't work. Now, maybe Clowney's – it looks from everything that I've seen on Twitter, it looks like Clowney's the one who ended the relationship.
Yeah, but again – put the reason why I made the comparison between Scott Boras is because of Dallas Keuchel. Because Boras gave a bill of goods to Dallas Keuchel that you're worth 5 years and $100 million. So that's what Keuchel expected. And so by the time that the rubber hit the road, they found out in a big hurry they weren't getting anywhere close to that many years and that much money. And the same can be said of Jadeveon Clowney, because we all knew, we heard rumblings or someone had told us that Jadeveon Clowney was looking for the same kind of money as the guys in his draft class, mainly Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald. Only when you start comparing apples to oranges, not apples to apples, because you realize that the numbers that Mack and Donald put up are dominant and substantially bigger and better than that of what Clowney put up. But if you're an agent, or for whatever reason, you are on the firm mental belief that I deserve what they got, you either got to be told by an agent in realistic terms, you're not going to get that, or you have to be willing to pay the consequences as an agent if you said, I hear you, we're going to get that for you. And then if it doesn't happen, you might be out of a job.
You're only worth as much as someone's willing to pay you, or what teams are throwing out in terms of a number, in terms of an annual salary for yourself. And I don't know, Buzz Cook may have exhausted all options. Maybe Clowney maybe he's right. Let's be objective. Maybe Buzz Cook didn't do his due diligence, or perhaps approached some of these teams incorrectly. But I do agree with you. At some point, if you're an agent and your client is telling you, look, I'm worth $20 million a year, and then he has a few conversations with teams around a particular league, and they're telling him he's not worth $20 million a year, at some point you got to sit there and look at your client and say, look, I thought I could get you $20 million in a year. You're probably worth something close to 12 or 13 or 14 or 15. And that's not something you want to hear as a player. You don't want to hear those words, because obviously you want to make a point when you're trying to hold out, or if you're not on the field, you're making a point and you're trying to make a point that you would hope is actually right, that you are worth what an Aaron Donald is worth or something like that. So that tough conversation is eventually going to happen at some point. Now, whether that relationship remains intact between you and your client, that remains to be seen. It's not the first time a agent gets fired by a player because he didn't get the money that he
wanted. You see Dallas Keuchel, like, the offseason. You saw he was promised, oh, you're going to be probably one of the highest paid pitchers out there.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And then you wait, and you wait, and you go, hey, what happened to that? I'm surprised he didn't fire his agent. But you're promised something because you think you can get it, because the more money you get them, the more money your cut is.
And the thing that also goes in on all of this is, when you think about a player and all they have to go through in the offseason and how they prepare themselves for a season, an agent should be doing the same thing. An agent should be doing the due diligence long before the free agency year hits and kicking the tires with every general manager in the league, including the one on the team that they're on, and saying, hey, what's my guy worth? What do you think my guy's worth? And get a competitive balance of offers in there, or just guesses as to what the next contract might be, so that realistically you can go to your client and not blow smoke up their ass and tell them they're better than they are, and say, look, I know you think you're worth this, but I've talked to 11 to 15 teams in the league that were willing to be honest with me. They said you're more around the lines of this. Now, if he's okay with that, cool. But you go back to Jerry Maguire. Some guys are just, hey, you fluff me every chance you get. You show me the money and you do what I want you to do and get results. And if you don't, they feel like they should just cut you and on to the next.
I would imagine Buzz Cook did everything in his power to get him the best possible deal. When you look at some of the numbers that he's been able to get in the past, Cam Newton's contract, I think it approached $120 million in total value that paid him almost $70 million in guaranteed money in the first 3 years. Calvin Johnson's deal, I think it was a deal that was totaling $132 million. I mean, I would like to think someone of this resume is putting in the due diligence, but sometimes you're a victim of what the market is, too. Maybe you're worth more the following season, right? Maybe you're worth more the season after that. Maybe he's a victim of that. I don't know if that's the case in with Jadeveon Clowney, but I do feel like you can be a victim of what the marketplace is looking like right now for someone at that position and how much money he's getting paid based on the stats and what he's been able to do in the past. I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to thank Bob Cook. I'd feel like there was a frustration. It was a frustration situation, and they've both had enough, or at least one of the two.
I think Clowney's had enough.
One of the two have had enough, and that's what eventually led to the end of that relationship, for sure.
I mean, the bottom line is I'd love to be able to tell you that you're worth Cristal champagne and that I'm going to give you Cristal champagne.
Yeah.
But if I go to several bars down the street and all they got is Moet, guess what? They're basically telling me you're getting Moet. You're not getting Cristal because it's just not in the cards. So reality hits and reality bites and reality sucks sometimes. But I think it all goes back to what we've said all along, which is Clowney said he wasn't giving the Texans a discount. And he was adamant the whole time that he wanted money in the range of the guys in his draft that statistically he did not match up to.
And maybe Bus Cook for a second thought he could probably – maybe he did believe that Jadeveon Clowney could get that money for a second or for a while until he did his due diligence and learned and see what the going market is for some player like that. So I don't know. I mean, I remember Patrick Mahomes coming into the league, and I told myself, I think he's going to make some noise in this league. I didn't know when, but I thought he would. But I remember talking to his agent, Lee Steinberg, and saying that this guy's going to be a first-round draft pick. And the only reason why I thought he wouldn't was because of the school he was coming out of, the noise that was surrounding him coming out of college. But sure enough, he was a late round. He was late in the first round. So in that case, that was a guy that actually believed in his client and eventually going to get this guy paid. This is just a different situation for Jadeveon Clowney.
Interesting. Ian Rappaport reporting 41 seconds ago, a little bit longer than that, but pretty much in the last couple of minutes. Texans franchised pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney has met in person with Miami Dolphins coach Brian Flores and members of the organization's brass. Sources say there has been speculation Miami is a possible landing spot. Now, we talked about this yesterday. And we said that there was a receiver that the Texans were targeting, mainly Kenny Stills. I'm telling you right now, and I said at the start of the show, Laremy Tunsil is in the Dolphins camp. And they have been hot and cold on him. If they're ready to move on from him, and as we said all along is, they should be addressing the line before they worry about another receiver. Okay? Because guess what? If we're only worried about injuries, and everybody else saying if the Texans receiving core stays healthy, and I obviously understand it's a big if, but if you add Kuti and Will Fuller and they're healthy to D-Hop, you don't need to be worried about your receiving core. But you sure as hell need to be worried about that piss-poor offensive line. And if this can help you kind of, as we've said, no matter what move you make, and especially if it's Clowney, you have to address line first.
Yeah, and maybe Mike, there is some truth into what Michael Lombardi was saying. Obviously, he was wrong in that he said he'd be shocked if Clowney wasn't traded within 24 or 48 hours. He was wrong about that. Mm-hmm. But perhaps there was some truth in that teams were in discussion with the Texans, and the fact that the Texans were considering a wide receiver for Jadeveon Clowney, there might be some truth in that. So it's going to be interesting to see who they actually get if the Texans do make a deal with the Dolphins. I actually agree with you. I would probably address that O-line. Like I said, I would avoid the running, you know, getting a running back in return for Clowney. Right. But it's going to be interesting to see, because we've heard before that wide receiver was a position that the Texans were looking for if they were going to choose to move on from Jadeveon Clowney. So it's going to be interesting to see who actually comes to Houston.
Well, and who's going to own it when the move is made, especially if it is a wide
receiver. That's another thing.
That's something to consider as well.
The collective group.
Oh, Bob. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. One half in the books. That means 90 minutes still to go to the big show. That means a lot of time for you to be able to get involved. 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. Call, text, or hit us up on Twitter. The second half is next. ESPN 97.5. But I shut my eyes and cross each line, and every time. Keep on going back. Keep on.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Tuesday, Big City. Nick in for Barry, who's taking a day off. Aaron Rabel, I stand corrected, Nicholas.
What?
I said Aaron Rabel was doing double time. He's actually doing triple time because he's doing our show. Then he's doing the Blitz. And then he's doing Pastor Caden on ESPN. You're doing light hits.
Did you hear Lance's impression of Patrick Creighton earlier today?
No.
Did you?
I did not.
Oh, I had Jose pull the audio when we played it. I described it as the best and the worst impression of Patrick Creighton. As we all know, Patrick Creighton is the butt of a lot of the jokes when it comes down to his decibel level because the guy is loud.
Yeah.
He's loud. He's either 1 or 2 decibels behind Stephen A or 1 or 2 decibels above Stephen A. I'll let you guys
determine. I think he's above.
And Lance had a dream that he was tight. I forgot what the exact situation was, but he was talking to Tiger Woods, and all of a sudden, it's a weird tandem, I know, Patrick Creighton and Juggalo Trey come crash the party, and he was having like this peaceful conversation that he thought was amazing because his wife was there and she was quiet, and he liked the fact that his wife was quiet and he can carry on with this conversation with Tiger Woods. These are the words of Lance, so just throwing that out there. But apparently Patrick Creighton and Juggalo Trey came crashing the party, and Patrick Creighton was incredibly loud. If Aaron can find the audio, because Jose's the one who pulled it, it sounded hilarious. It was bad.
First of all,
and
I was going to say, you better not ever say that anybody does a better Patrick Creighton.
Do your Patrick Creighton right now.
Patrick Creighton of the Charlie Palillo Shows. We get ready to get an hour number 2. You want to come to me? I'm here.
Sounds like a drunk ass Patrick Creighton.
That's what he does. Patrick Creighton on the Charlie Palillo Show.
I like your Stephen A. Smith more.
I mean, it's Carmelo Anthony. It's not Chandler Parsons.
Parsons? You've got the New York and the New Jersey accent down because you do that. You did Les Alexander pretty good, too.
Isn't America great? America's the greatest land of all, where dreams really do come true. We love you, Houston. We'll see you next year. That was his championship speech.
Yeah. But if you heard what Lance, the way Lance screamed to mock Patrick Creighton, it was way too funny. It was way too funny.
So, PC and late hits for Aaron Rabel as he does the triple threat. Oh, that's different. You do triple headers. Is that what you do, Aaron? We'll just call it as that.
Yeah, we'll say triple headers.
Patrick Creighton.
Well, triple threat, I guess, is dead and gone, so we could use it now.
Yeah, but we don't want to retread that kind of stuff.
No, we don't. We don't want to do that. So,
hey, happy birthday, by the way, to our good friend, best buddy, and the coolest guy in town, AJ Hoffman.
Who's that guy?
AJ Hoffman's birthday today. Happy birthday, AJ Hoffman.
Yeah, I just saw that on one of our company emails that it is his birthday.
I'm giddy. I didn't know why I was in such a good mood today. Now I do. Happy birthday, AJ Hoffman.
Happy birthday, AJ. I think Aaron has got, he's found the audio of Lance mocking Patrick Creighton.
Why are you saying that, Nate?
That's the worst and the best impression of Patrick Creighton.
When Lance gives it, man, he just goes.
I heard that driving in today. I was like, oh my God, that is the funniest thing ever. The funniest thing ever. He does a good Juggalo Trey, but Juggalo Trey, I feel like that's an easy. I mean, I think most people can do
no.
it. Yeah, see, people can do a decent Juggalo Trey. That was an hilarious Patrick Creighton. He yelled.
He just, but that's, I think that's part of the deal is, and we always talk about the most flattering way to do an impersonation is you exaggerate. So to exaggerate.
But that sounded nothing like Patrick Creighton, and it still sounded funny. So that's the reason why I like it. Yours actually sounds like Stephen A. Like, you actually sound like Les Alexander.
But you don't think when I listen to Creighton filling in for Charlie, that's what I get. Because you try to pick up the little things, but he doesn't. It's like the first part of a sentence is very clearly enunciated and loud, and the rest of the sentence tails off to the point where it sounds like you're drunk. So it's Patrick Creighton on the Charlie Belillo Show as we get ready for hour number two. You want to call? Call right now, 713-780-3776. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. I have a lot of problems and a lot of things I want to talk about. That's what he does. He goes loud and hard early, and then he just kind of peters out.
I remember talking to AJ about this when we were, I think, at the Dallas trip, the one you came with me to. And we were talking about an old host by the name of Dylan Gwynn.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
the mighty Gwynn.
I think Aaron knows who. I think he's either produced for him or he knows him. And Dylan Gwynn would, like, when he spoke into the mic, he was
4 or 5 feet away. Okay. Like, his way back here.
And I would tell him, Dylan, bro, I've got you potted all the way up, and I can't hear you. And then he's got the mic screen.
Yep.
And he's talking 4 or 5 feet away. Patrick Creighton, mic screen or not, like, it doesn't matter. You're going to hear what he has to say.
You're saying he eats the microphone. Is that what you're saying?
No.
I'm asking what you're saying.
I did not say that.
Is it the opposite of Dylan Gwynn?
Complete opposite. That used to frustrate. Dylan Gwynn, by the way, nicest human being on the planet, but just would not.
Wait, what?
Not talking to the mic. He would always be like 2, 3, 4 feet behind the mic. It would drive me insane. Drive me absolutely insane. Maybe Patrick Creighton should do his show 3, 4, 5 feet behind the mic. Maybe he won't sound as loud. I don't know.
Well, then people in Beaumont wouldn't hear him as clear.
And I'm not laughing at you. Except for when he sells you out, throws you under the bus.
That's fine. I mean,
who did?
Gwynn. He did that when he was filling in with AJ one day.
Oh, really?
Oh, you did?
AJ was cracking up on the phone, and he wanted to know that he wasn't laughing at the caller. AJ was. So he threw him under the bus.
Wow. Jeez. Well, I mean, I feel sorry for both of you guys because you both were, like, under duress because Dylan Gwynn worked with Barry Warner, and so did you.
No, Dylan Gwynn is good people, man. I had no problem. I had no problem with Dylan Gwynn. The only issue I had was with the way he, and, like, you could tell him, and he wasn't going to change. Like, bro, like, we can't hear you, sir. We can't.
I worked and crossed paths with Dylan Gwynn over at iHeart. Because I would come in for Rockets games when he was over there, and then he ended up being over here working with Warner.
Yeah.
And so I remember that tandem. Yeah. That's what I said. You worked with Barry, he worked with Barry. I have sympathy for both of you.
Yeah.
And you're both good dudes. I disagree with him being the nicest man on the planet, but I think he's a good dude.
We go through a lot. We go through a lot as producers, don't we? Don't we, Aaron Rabel? I know he can relate.
Oh, yeah.
I know he can relate. All right. Can't relate.
Enough of this.
You can't relate, Joel.
No, because, I mean, I had higher aspirations.
Were you watching golf, by the way?
When?
When Rory won? You watching that?
I peeped it a little bit. I don't like, and no one, we don't want to bore people with golf. I don't like what they did this year, like, because of the FedEx Cup, because it was a $15 million purse to the winner, take all. So if you had the most FedEx Cup points going into the final tournament, instead of everybody starting at level par.
Fresh. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Justin Thomas started at 10 under. And then depending on where you were behind him, you were at either 6 or 4 or 3 under or 2 under. And then you had 4 rounds of golf. I don't like that.
I figured we wouldn't go too into deep, but I figured you were following that. And that actually just started this particular event.
I think they should change it going forward. But it did turn out where the guy that was leading, Justin Thomas, didn't win. So maybe they're happy with it. I don't know. But we'll see. I do want to give more shout-outs to Granato because Albert Breer, of all people, who has the blue check mark, who is...
Is he still with the NFL Network?
A senior NFL reporter and content strategist. Across everybody that knows football knows Albert Breer. And he said, this first all popped up here with arrows pointing to Granato's tweet in which Granato said, watch for something to happen soon. Clowney's very unhappy with his agent. He doesn't think Bus Cook has had a good enough plan. When he signs his tender, he thinks he's headed to Miami. They will have 2 franchise years to convince him to stay there long term. Props to Johnny Granato. Fantastic work right there. That's why you listen to ESPN 97.
Granato doing it again, man.
Yeah, there you go. We have peeps that know peeps. within these four walls. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. This is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Wrapping up hour number two of the show. Still going to go through hour number three. We take it till four. Blitz takes you till seven. It's all right here on ESPN 97.5. Get your birthday wishes all fired up and ready to go. You text them, you tweet them, you get in on the phone lines to call the Blitz because A.J. Hoffman's birthday is today. So all you Blitzers, show the love. 5353 West Alabama in the Galleria. You can drop off all your gifts.
He should get drunk.
That's shocking.
For the entire show. He should, I don't know if Fred would appreciate that, but he should.
As long as Fred gets in on it, are you kidding me?
Bring him some craft beer. Maybe something he's never tried before.
I'm sure there's some stuff he has.
I feel like this Jadeveon Clowney stuff is starting to pick back up with all these tweets coming around from guys like Ian Rappaport and Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans.
There is a lot.
A team that I guess wasn't his number one team at the very minimum. It looked from the way I from what I gathered from it, the Dolphins was it just wasn't an option. Now they're wording it as, well, it wasn't his number one team.
At first glance, he was not interested. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, he was leading people to believe Washington was where he wanted to go.
Right.
How do you not want to go in? I understand Miami from a personnel standpoint. It's not the greatest team. You got a coach, New England bloodlines, should be good. City's great.
Yeah, I think even for him, I think with Miami from a, you know, from a fun standpoint, from a nightlife standpoint, I think Miami would exceed anything that,
I mean,
that
DC
Washington,
and Miami, is it even a choice?
I don't know. To me, you make a good point. I think a part of this is because Jadeveon Clowney is trying to prove a point, and maybe Washington wasn't going to pay him the number that was going to be able to prove him a point that's going to allow him to prove a point to the Texans that he was really indeed worth that money. Because if you look at this tweet by...
But they're past the deadline, Nick. So they can't. I mean,
no, I mean in the future. So, like for example, read this tweet. All right, Texans compensation requirements for Jadeveon Clowney are reasonable per sources. Multiple agents are pursuing unsigned franchise player. Ton of heavy hitters going after him. Nothing imminent for picking new representation. Okay, but before that, he goes, Jadeveon Clowney recently met with the Dolphins coach Brian Flores, right, and it went well. League sources confirm. Not his first choice destination, but Dolphins are amenable to doing lucrative extension for unsigned franchise player. Clowney could very well end up a Dolphin. So does that mean that they could potentially not give him money? Obviously, they can't give him money now, but down the line, they're making it seem like sort of like a handshake deal, right? And that they will eventually get him paid. And maybe that's, you know, his little secret.
It's a wink-wink deal to say, hey, we're willing to, you know, pony up what you're looking for to this degree. And then they work it out from there. But when you look at the most cap space as of this morning, the Colts are number one with 56.6 mil. The Texans are number two at 37 mil already. The Dolphins are number eight at 22.1. So they have some space. Depending on cuts, they could get some more space.
Right.
So, again,
I could be wrong. That was just speculation. I feel like a part of this is a part of the satisfaction is not just getting paid. It's proving to the Texans that he was indeed worth that money, worth more than the franchise tag that they hit him with. I feel like that's a part of his motivation. It's part of his incentive. And it really depends on that team. Like, why all of a sudden is he okay to consider Miami as a destination now? Why?
I think in part, if he, as everybody has basically verified, he met with Brian Flores. Brian Flores is under the Parcells tree. Brian Flores is a guy that I think a lot of players respect because of the work he's done as a position coach on the defensive side of the football. But more so than anything else, he has a mentality of winning. unlike what they've been dealing with for the last several years. And with that being said, if you can add a guy that if he can win over a guy like Clowney and say, look, I can have you playing the way I ran my defense in New England, and you could be a star. And you're going to get plenty of opportunities. And we're going to put players around you. And we've got an all-world cornerback already that we can put there in the secondary to help you out as well, to where we could really make you the foundation of our defense. And
that's
the money's there.
Point. That's definitely
and
a good
selling
point.
And the city's there. There's a lot in his favor.
Yeah. I don't know what brought up the fact that, or I don't know if it's a fact or the speculation that Clowney was not interested in Miami as a destination, but time will tell.
Well, and here's another thing, because Pro Football Talk is saying that Miami's interested in Clowney. Clowney prefers Seahawks or Eagles.
This is just getting all over the place. And the fact that Aaron Wilson is saying that new representation isn't imminent.
Well, you're going to have a guy within 5 days. Otherwise, you're representing yourself, and I don't think he's doing that.
No. I don't think Clowney wants to represent himself.
Right. So that should be very interesting. But again, then you also hear some of the sources that said, look, because of the fact that Flores wants his type guys, that he wants to build and construct his own roster with the kind of players he wants, that everyone is available. Now, they did say that the guy that I mentioned, Laremy Tunsil, is one of two players, along with, was it Xavier Howard, the number one corner. Those are the two guys that they'd be less likely to trade. However, everyone seems to be on the table. So that means that if you're the Texans and Laremy Tunsil is the guy that you want, at least start there. Worst case scenario, the worst they can do is say no.
Yeah. I don't know what else they could do in regards to this. Hold on. Is there any? Oh, no. I thought that was an Aaron Wilson tweet.
Mm-mm.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, because now this is going to be top of mind on everybody's list. You said, do you think it's going to happen today, and thought maybe that it would happen before the end of our show. I just tend to believe that they're going to wait till the last preseason game, because they also want to kind of monitor cuts. And there's going to be some good football players that are going to be on the open market because they just don't fit the system and or the style of a team like Miami, who got a new coach and is trying to do things a different way. There's going to be a lot of guys that might be out there that you want to add to your team that maybe change your perspective of what you want in a trade. So I don't know that I don't get the feeling that's going to happen today. I'm kind of the school of thought that it's going to happen after Thursday night.
Yeah, I think it would just be interesting if it happened during the show for obvious reasons. But you're right. I think there's some validity in what you're saying. Rushing into a deal may not be the smart move just yet, considering if, you know, like I said, if there's some sort of handshake deal that Jadeveon Clowney could potentially agree on and that he's going to get paid a particular number that he's satisfied with later down the road, you know, maybe that happens. Maybe that happens. I mean, I mentioned the Arthur Blank Atlanta Falcons situation.
That's a great name, by the way.
Blank.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the fact that they took preventative measures to make sure that Julio Jones doesn't hold out going into this season. They haven't come to a deal yet, but it looks like he might be getting a deal that makes him the highest paid wide receiver, if not one of the highest paid wide receivers in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They took preventative measures, so I don't know. Man, these holdouts can get ugly, though.
We're looking at a lot of them. So you know what? Now we're going to see probably a lot of them get resolved because of the fact that no one wants to miss their regular season game checks, and the regular season's right around the corner. And Albert Breer was the reporter that did say that Laremy Tunsil and Xavier Howard are the two guys that are going to be tougher to pry away from the Dolphins, but that everybody's on the table. That might give you a better indication that if the Texans do want to get into a conversation with them, at least start there. And like I said, the worst they can say no, because Sarah Barshop, our friend, is saying that the going rate may be a second-round pick. I don't just want to lose Clowney for a second-round pick. He was the number one overall draft pick in the draft. I know leverage is a big deal, but if Miami truly wants him and they're looking to kind of reshape their culture and rebuild their roster, well, then let's see what they can get.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's the second hour of the show. We still got 60 minutes on the clock. When we come back, an hour to go. And if you want to join the discussion, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.